So today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're reading from the Madhya Lila, chapter number 8, entitled Talks between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. And we are reading from text numbers 222 to 223. So I'll just read 222 myself, and then we'll do 223 responsibly. Vrajalokir kona bhav lana ye bhaje bhava yogya deha pai Krishna paya vraje. Translation. In his liberated stage, the devotee is attracted by one of the five humors in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As he continues to serve the Lord in that transcendental mood, he attains a spiritual body to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Who would like a spiritual body to serve Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan? Anyone? Yes. Stay tuned. Okay, so we'll read 223. So, responsively, please. Dahate drishtanta upanishad shrutigan. Raga marga bhaji paila vrajendra anandan. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Those saintly persons who presented the Upanishads are vivid examples of this. By worshipping the Lord on the path of spontaneous love, they attained the lotus feet of Rajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. In the Goloka Vrindavan planet, Krishna's servants are headed by Raktaka and Patraka. Krishna's friends are headed by Sridham, Subal and others. There are also elderly gopis and the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda and others. All of these personalities are eternally engaged in the loving service of the Lord in accordance with their specific attachments for Krishna. One who wants to return home to serve the Lord directly is attracted to Krishna as a servant, friend, father or mother. By continuously serving Krishna during this life in a particular ecstasy, one gives up the material body and attains a suitable spiritual body to serve Krishna in terms of a particular attachment. One may serve as a servant, friend, father or mother. In the same way, if one wants to serve Krishna in conjugal love, he can also attain a body under the guidance of the gopis. The most vivid example in this connection is those saintly personalities known as the Shrutis, who presented the Upanishads. These Shrutis understand that without serving Krishna and following in the footsteps of the gopis, there is no possibility of entering the kingdom of God. Therefore, they engage in spontaneous loving service unto Krishna and follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Once there was one man, and he was working for a construction firm. So his whole life he had worked for this construction firm. He made so many houses, and he was expert. He would do it from the beginning to the end. He would design the house, he would acquire the land, he would hire the people, and then he'd make these incredible buildings. So what happened is his whole life he worked very, very hard for many decades, 4 or 5 decades working as a builder. And then finally it came to the point where he thought, this is it, now I need to retire. So he was just thinking, that's it. They told him, no, you're so good, stay on a little bit more. Finally it came to the point he said, no, I just want to take my retirement pay and I'm a goner, I'm gone. So then what they said to him is, they said, look, you're so good, just do one final job for us. At least do one final job. And what we'll do is we'll give you a blank checkbook. So you can be as creative as you like. You can find whatever land you want. You can do whatever design you want. You can employ whoever you want. Let your imagination run loose and build the best you can. He was thinking, I just want to retire. I just want to get my last pay and get out of here. They said, no, you do one last job. So he thought, oh God, what to do? Keep the boss happy. So I'll do it. But it was one of those, he was thinking like, I just want to get this over and done. You know, it's like the 16th round at 11:30 at night. It's just like, okay. So it was kind of like one of those, you know, he was just thinking, oh, I just get it done. I just want to close up shop and I just want to get my retirement pay and go. So anyway, I'll just do it. So what he did, he just said, where's the closest land? Okay, buy that. Okay, architect's drawing, just do a quick job, whatever's easy. Boom, 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 three floors, make it nice and square. That's finished. People to hire, just whoever's cheap, whoever's available, just get them to do the job. Anyway, he finished it up super quick. Then finally he came to the boss and they said, have you done? He said, yeah, I've done everything. I've done the last job, everything. They said, are you satisfied with your? He said, yeah, I'm fully satisfied with it. He said, now I'm ready to retire. If you just give me my retirement pay and I can just go. And they said, we arranged a very, very special gift for your retirement pay. And what we want to let you know is that this final house that you built, which we gave you a complete blank checkbook to build, the one that we gave you the full creative ability to let loose your imagination in the wildest way you'd like, that will be your retirement pay. And you thought, oh my God, I worked hard my whole life. My whole life I worked so hard. And when it came to the end, to get the mature fruit of it, I did a complete rush job. And I missed out. I often think about this story, because maybe this story is the story of our life. How many lifetimes did it take to get to the point of having access to all this spiritual wealth? That builder was given a blank checkbook to create whatever he wanted to create for the rest of his life. He could live there. We've been given so much spiritual wealth. Here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving us the prospects of the kind of home we can build in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada is inspiring us. He's saying, you can be a servant of Krishna. You can be a friend of Krishna. You can run with Krishna in the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan. You can be even in Krishna in conjugal love. You can do whatever you want to do. It's a blank checkbook of spiritual wealth. The possibilities are endless. And the scriptures, the sages, the saints, Krishna himself is inviting us to go back there. But then sometimes we're in the final stage, the last job, building our house for the retirement, for eternity. And what do? We just do a quick job. Oh, I just finished the rounds. Just get them done. Open a book so hard. One devotee told me it's like opening a book is like weightlifting. Like, oh. No, I can't do it. It's too much. Serving, but dragging our feet. Okay, let's just get it done. Get it all done. I've done my duties for the day. And then with that kind of job, what house are you building for your eternity? What house are you building for yourself in the spiritual world? So some days you can stop back, step away and think that what I'm actually doing day to day is I'm building the house that I'm going to live in for the rest of eternity. You know, today if you go to Govardhan, It's very, very beautiful. When you walk around Govardhan then and you do parikrama, for a certain part you can't see Govardhan because the Govardhan stones are not manifest. And then you come to a place called Gwal Pokhara, where Krishna used to have his lunch with his cowherd friends. And at that point you begin to see the rocks of Govardhan, the Govardhan Shilas. And then as you walk around Govardhan, and if you look closely at the foothills of Govardhan, then you'll see many people have come there, and what they've done is with bricks, they've built a house over the Govardhan Shilas. Have you seen? They come to the foothills of Govardhan, and some of the, it's just a brick, two bricks and a brick on top, just to cover the Govardhan Shila. And like this, many, many people over the generations have built these houses over the Govardhan Shilas to protect them. And according to Vrindavan tradition, people do this because they're saying to Giriraj that I'm building a house for you here. Just with whatever humble, what can I give you? Just a few bricks and I can make a small house for you. But please, in return, you build a house for me in the spiritual world where I can eternally reside at the foothills of Govardhan. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami is beautifully praying, Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. My cherished desire, my heart is trembling with the aspiration that one day I will live in eternity at the foothills of Govardhan and be constantly in the association of Vajendra Nandan Krishna. So we're building a house for the rest of our eternity. So we should not do a quick job. We should not waste the opportunity. We should not do it half-heartedly. We should not do it inattentively. This is your retirement pay. You know, when you join the temple, like there's often a lot of opposition. Every devotee has to go through this, many devotees. So when I joined the temple, there would always be, like, for a period of about 6 months and 1 year, various delegates from my family and friends who would come here to convince me I was wasting my life. So I remember one day one of these delegates from my family came, and I sat up there in the patron office with them, and they said, "What are you doing? You're wasting your life." And then this person, he said, "Why don't you just get a job?" So I said, "This is a job." He says, "This is not a job." I said, no, "This is a job. This is the best job in the world." He said, "This is not a job. If it's a job, how much salary are they giving you?" I said, "I don't know about the salary, but the retirement plan is out of this world." Somehow Krishna inspired me to say that. You may not get much salary here. What salary you get? But the retirement plan is out of this world. You see, you work hard for so many things to get some money. So hard. And how hard are we working for building our eternal future? It's amazing. I calculated that if we put even 10% of the effort that we put into material life into spiritual life, I'm convinced we would be flying. Imagine every single person in this world does 20 years of material study. Everyone does it. It goes without saying. Imagine we just did 10% of that 5 days a week, 6 hours a day to learn about Krishna. Imagine where you would be. How many hours do people work in a week? 30, 40, 50? Imagine the sacrifices we make to earn a living in this world. Imagine we did 10% of that for Krishna. Imagine all the risks, all the sacrifices you made, all the things you do that you didn't want to do just to get along in this world, and you did 10% of that for Krishna. Imagine where we'd be. So we're building a house for eternity. In Mumbai, Srila Prabhupada was desirous to build the Juhu Temple, and one person came forward, his name was Mr. Sethi. And he was inspired by Srila Prabhupada. He was ready to do whatever Prabhupada wanted. He was the head of a construction firm. So then, because he took it so seriously, he didn't just put his workers on the job. He himself would come out there on the ground with his Wellingtons on and make sure the temple was being built to the highest standard. And one time when Srila Prabhupada was there, Prabhupada was leaving and he said, "I want to see Mr. Sethi." And Mr. Sethi was so humble, he said, "What will I do? There are so many bigger devotees than me who should see Prabhupada. I'll just do my humble service here." So he was refusing to come and see Srila Prabhupada out of humility. And then Prabhupada finally said, "I'm not leaving Mumbai until I see him. I want to thank him." And so finally he very humbly entered into Prabhupada's room. He was all, you know, from the construction work. And he came in. As soon as he came in, Prabhupada embraced him. He was so emotionally overcome. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, "You are building a house for Krishna and his devotees in this world. And know for sure that Krishna is building a house for you in the spiritual world." And he just began crying. That's Krishna's kindness, that we can build a house for ourselves in the spiritual world. So here, what is being explained is that there are unlimited opportunities to serve Krishna in the spiritual world. Why is all of this information there? Because Srila Prabhupada, the Shastra, Krishna wants to inspire us. The Shastra wants to educate us. And the Shastra wants to empower us so that we can enter into the transcendent realm. And so all of this amazing information is given. The bottom line of this conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that if you want to build your house in eternity, there's one qualification. There's one thing that you have to have. And there's only one thing, one key, which will open the door to Vraja, to open the door to Vrindavan. And what is that one key? You have to have rag. Raga, marga, bhaji, paila, vrajendra, nandan. You have to have rag. And what does rag mean? You have to have deep attachment for Krishna. Krishna has to have hijacked your mind. Krishna has to have stolen all your desires. Krishna has to have become the conqueror of your heart. If one has rag, if one has attachment, then one can go to Vrindavan. If one is a strong sadhaka, if one is very, very disciplined, if one is incredibly regulated in all their duties, but at the end of all of that, they don't develop rag. Despite all their efforts, they cannot enter Vraj. Yeah, I'll come to that in a second. Yeah. Therefore, rag is the qualification. Someone may say, "But rag, it seems so far away for me to have attachment like that, to have that kind of spontaneous flow of attention towards Krishna seems so alien to have some rag." But rag is not alien to all of us. All of us have rag for something. All of us know that our mind is running somewhere. Our consciousness is becoming captured by something. Rag is there within every single living entity. But the problem right now is that the rag is going in the wrong direction. The attachments are for the wrong things. The desires which are dominating our mind and thoughts are the wrong desires. And therefore, spiritual life is completely spontaneous. It's all about rag. But right now, because our rag is going in the wrong direction, what we have to do is vedi, sadhana. We have to do regulation. Because when something is going in the wrong direction, you have to regulate it to bring it back on course. But is the goal of life to stay in a regulated state? No. The regulated state is only there so that you can correct the flow from going to the wrong place to going to the right place. So therefore, there is material consciousness where raga is going in the wrong direction. So what do the acharyas come in and say? Vedi sadhana bhakti. Regulate it. And readjust the flow of that attachment towards Krishna. But we must understand that the goal is not to stay in a regulated state. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. The goal is not to stay in a regulated state. The goal is eventually through that regulation, the rag should just go towards Krishna. That is the goal. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing to the world the raga marg. We have to ultimately have rag and we have to ultimately be following raga marg before we leave this world. Otherwise, you cannot go to Vrindavan. But in order to achieve that rag, what do you have to do? Vedi sadhana. You have to regulate. You have to practice very diligently. And then it will work. So what is actually being revealed here, we may not appreciate it fully, but this is actually a secret that practically no other theology in the world will teach you. You see, you can say there are, broadly speaking, three types of religion that people follow in the world. One is conventional religion or cultural religion. Another is committed religion. But then there is spontaneous religion. Now, if you imagine a circle, then practically outside of the circle is everyone who doesn't follow religion. And then there is one circle of people who follow some kind of religion. Now, in that circle of some people who follow religion, 99% are just doing conventional religion. Oh God, give me a house by the sea, a color TV, a 50 million gigabyte MP3, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. That is what 99.9% of people are doing, conventional religion. Now, if you look in that circle, there will be a smaller circle, a very smaller circle in there, and that is the people who do committed religion. They are the sadhakas. They are the ones who actually follow something seriously. But do you know that within that circle, there may be one. There may be one who has some rag. That person is very rare. Chaitanya Charitamrita is for that person. For that person who wants to attain that center point of it all. What is rag? What does it mean to have rag? This is a type of religion that most people have never heard of. You see, even when we look at committed religion, even that looks very, very high. Isn't it? Like if as a devotee you tell people what you do every day, for most people that's very high. Like say a devotee chants 16 rounds every day. That means you're praying to God for 2 hours every single day. How many people in this world pray to God for 2 hours every single day? That's very rare. So even committed religion, when we look at it, it looks very high. But there's more. That's not the goal. Raga Marg is the goal. What is Raga Marg? Say, for example, in committed cultural religion, someone thinks, I will give something to Krishna. I will give something to Krishna. Then what is committed religion? One thinks, I will give everything to Krishna. Yat karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad johoshi, dadashi yat, yat tapashyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Hey, it's for you. Everything's for you. Then you begin to think, what can be higher than that? Can there be anything higher than that? So what does the Raga Marg person think? If the cultural person thinks, I give something to Krishna, and the committed religionist thinks, I'll give everything to Krishna, what does the Raga Marg person think? I'll give everything to Krishna, but Krishna is mine. Mamata. Once they went to a house of a Brajabasi, and he said, what is that? He said, that's Krishna's cupboard. What is that? That's Krishna's chair. What is that? That's Krishna's kitchen. And then they pointed at Krishna and say, and what's that? That's my Krishna. That's Raga Marg. Anyone think like that? That's the type of religion most people have never heard of. A conventional religion person thinks, Krishna is part of my life. Part of my life. What does a committed religion person think? Krishna is in every single part of my life. A committed religious person, they bring Krishna into every part of their life. So then you think, what could be higher than that? The Raga Marga person thinks, I'm entering into Krishna's life. I don't have a life anymore. Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parashparam. Madgata prana literally means their lives enter into me. So a conventional person thinks, yeah, Krishna is part of my life on a Sunday. A sadhaka thinks, no, Krishna is part of every single thing in my life. But a Raga Marg Bhakta thinks, I'm entering into Krishna's life. They don't live in this world, they live in Krishna's world. A conventional religious person thinks they do some ritual for Krishna out of convention, isn't it? They don't know often why they're doing it. Like people come in and then they ring the bell. And then when they leave the temple room, they ring the bell. And it's like, why would you ring the bell when you leave the temple room? Why do we ring the bell when we enter the temple room? Because it's like a doorbell to not announce to Krishna, take Krishna's permission that I'm now coming in. You don't do it when you go out. Have you ever rung a doorbell on your way out? But it's interesting. Out of ritual, people do so many things. They don't actually know why they do it. So a cultural religious person just does some ritual. A committed person does the ritual but with devotion and knowledge. Every single ritual that they do is conscious. They know why they're doing it and they do it with their heart. That's committed religious person. What can be higher than that? For someone in the Raga Marg, there is no ritual. It's just life. It's just life. As a sadhaka, as a committed sadhaka, you put your hand in your bead bag and you chant with knowledge, with devotion, with a real, and you give yourself to it. But it's still a discipline. For someone in the Raga Marg, their hand is just going there. Their hand is just staying there. So can you begin to see how the Raga Marga is a complete type of spirituality that most people have never heard of in this world. And this is the offer of Chaitanya Charitamrita to go here. But how do we get to Raga Marga? You can't fake it. You can't just do it artificially. First, you have to go through the Vedi sadhana. And you have to do that with incredible diligence, incredible determination, incredible focus. And on the days when you think, no, I'll just do a quick job, I just need to get it done, I just need to tick it off. Then you can remember the story of the builder who thought the same, but didn't realize that his rush job was creating his building for the rest of eternity. Here, what is being given in the purport is all of these details about what happens in the spiritual world. So here, what Srila Prabhupada is describing is that there are five types of relationship with Krishna, and four of them are really taking place in Vrindavan. That one can be a servant of Krishna, one can be a friend of Krishna, one can be a parent of Krishna, one can be a lover of Krishna. This is the prospect. So all of these details are given. This is known as sthayi bhav. I'll just say, this is a little technical, but because Srila Prabhupada is talking about in the purport, it's good to know. So bear with me. This is sthayi bhav. This is, sthayi bhav means the permanent relationship that one has with Krishna in the spiritual world. So each one of us here, each one of us have a permanent relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. And what we're basically trying to do here is uncover it. Nitya siddha Krishna prem sadhya kabunoi shravana adi sudha chite kareye yudhoi. This love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of the living entity. You don't need to get it from some external place. Shravanadi sudachite kariye udoy. By hearing and chanting, sudachite, your consciousness becomes purified. And again, you remember who you are, where you are, what you do, and all these different things. So Rupa Goswami is explaining that there is sthayi bhav. And when one is situated in the eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, they begin to experience all the different aspects of emotional stimulation in different ways. And what Rupa Goswami goes on to explain is all the intricacies of the emotions that the devotee feels in the spiritual world when they're in a relationship with Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says there is sthayi bhav, and then there is vibhav, and then there is anubhav, and then there is sattvika bhav, and then there is vyabhicharini bhav. He begins to analyze the complete experience of the spiritual world so that we can begin to grasp what is it that the residents of Vrindavan feel in their relationship with Krishna. This is known as rasa theology. I'll explain what these five things are, but just to let you know, for your information, where did this rasa theology come from? So originally, these things that Rupa Goswami outlined, they were mentioned in the Samaveda. Later on, what happened is there was one Bharat Muni, and Bharat Muni wrote one book called Natya Shastra, in which he expanded and wrote about all of these different emotions that someone goes through in a relationship. Later on, there was someone called Abhinava Gupta in the 9th century, and he wrote a commentary on the Natya Shastra where he began to expand on these ideas. And later on in the 14th century, there was someone called Vishwanath Kaviraj. This is not Vishwanath Chakravarti, it's someone else. And he wrote something called Sahitya Darpan. And he expounded further on all of these different emotions. And then what Rupa Goswami did is he took the work of Sahitya Darpan, Abhinava Gupta, and the Natya Shastra of Bharat Muni, and then he compiled something called Nataka Chandrika, and later on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which all of these things are explained. However, one should not think that Rupa Goswami got the information from them. Actually, Rupa Goswami got the information from who? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because it's mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami, Bhakti Tattva Krishna Tattva Prema Tattva Sar Bhava Tattva Rasa Tattva Leela Tattva Ar. What did Mahaprabhu teach Rupa Goswami? Bhakti Tattva, all the truths of devotion. Krishna Tattva, all the truths of Krishna. Prema Tattva, all the truths of love. Bhava Tattva, all the truths of emotion. Rasa Tattva, all the truths of rasa. Leela Tattva, all the truths of Krishna's pastimes. And therefore Rupa Goswami had all the information, but all he did is he took the framework that was given from these books to express it to the world in a way they could understand. So basically in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the whole book is based around explaining these five things. Sthayi Bhav, Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, Vyabhicharini Bhav. What are these things? Sthayi Bhav means your permanent emotion in your relationship with Krishna. Vibhav means a stimulant in that relationship which awakens emotions. Anubhav means a voluntary action that you take according to stimulated emotions. Sattvika Bhav means an involuntary action that you take according to these emotions. And Vyabhicharini Bhav means the emotional ecstasy that you experience in different situations in that relationship. Got it? It's very complex, no? It takes many days to explain, yes. Let me try and give you a simple example of what this all means. Imagine you have a mother and a child. Okay? So imagine a scene, there's a mother and a child. So what is the sthayi bhav of the mother? It's motherly love. That's the sthayi bhav. That's the permanent relationship that she has with the child. Okay? So that's the sthayi bhav. It means motherly love is the sthayi bhav. So then what is vibhav? Vibhav means something happens in that relationship which stimulates the love of the mother. So say for example, there's a scene and there's a mother and a child begins running towards the road. Then immediately you can understand, as a mother, so many emotions will come up within you. So the child running towards the road is known as a vibhav, a stimulant that awakens emotions within the person who has love. Then what is anubhav? Anubhav means a voluntary action. That's a response to the vibhav. So then what does the mother do when she sees the child running towards the road? She begins running towards the child. So running towards the child and opening her arms is said to be anubhav. And then what does she do? She picks up the child. And then without her own volition, naturally she begins crying out of happiness because she saved her child. That is known as sattvika bhav, involuntary emotion. And then what happens is she puts the child's head toward her head and she sees that the child is very hot. So maybe the child has a fever. So then immediately she becomes very worried that, oh no, my child is sick, my child is sick. So that worry is known as a Vyabhicharini Bhav, an emotional state that occurs in the relationship. So what Rupa Goswami does is he explains, when you have a relationship with Krishna, you also have sthayi bhav. And according to your sthayi bhav, there will be certain things which will stimulate you, vibhavs. And according to what stimulates you, there will be certain anubhavs and sattvika bhavs which will take place as a response. And then what will happen is according to all of that, there will be a vyabhicharini bhav, which basically gives you certain emotional moods within you in your relationship with Krishna. So this is all described by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And why does Rupa Goswami tell us all of this? Because he's trying to inspire us that everyone in this world is looking for rasa. Everyone in this world is looking to be emotionally moved by something. Everyone in this world wants their mind and heart to be captured by something or someone. But until and unless you do that in relationship with Krishna, it will always feel like a vacuum. Therefore, in order to experience that with Krishna, you have to have rag. But in order to develop rag, you have to practice Vedi sadhana. And the devotee who does that, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Raga hina jane bhaje shastrera agyai Vedi bhakti bole tare sarva shastre goy. That when we don't, raga hina, I don't have that attachment for Krishna, raga hina jane bhaje shastrera agyai, then you follow the path that is given by Shastra, Vedi bhakti. But remember, Vedi bhakti is not the goal. Just as regulating your raga is not the goal, we want to live free. We want to be free. Freedom is what we seek more than anything. Just like the other day we were going up the motorway and it was like, you saw all these people riding Harley Davidsons. You know, they come like 20 of them and they just ride their Harley Davidson. I was thinking about Harley Davidson, if you don't know, it's the famous motorbike. And Harley Davidson, their slogan was ride to freedom, ride to freedom. And I was thinking, these guys are just going up and down the motorway. It's like, is there much freedom there? It doesn't seem like much freedom there, you know? The concept of being free. You see, even regulated religion doesn't sit so well with us. We do it, but it doesn't feel so natural. But we do it because we know it's good. The real thing is freedom, the natural movement of one's rag. But right now, because our rag is in the wrong way, we need to redirect it. Therefore, we have to regulate. But eventually, we have to get there. But that will only happen if one is extremely diligent. And therefore, remember that story of the builder and ask yourself, am I just doing a quick job right at the end when it really counts? All of the lifetimes and all of the things that we've done, it all culminates in this point, this moment that we're in now. And according to what we do now, that will be the retirement plan. And so, as we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we remember, this requires extreme diligence. This is serious business, to somehow awaken rag within the consciousness. Hare Krishna. Okay, so maybe I'll stop there because this is a very complicated subject matter. And just see whether there's any questions or comments or anything anyone would like to ask. Yes, Arun Prabhu. Is there a mic for him so that they can...
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. My question is regarding, on the verse we have Upanishad Shruti Gana.
Yeah.
So people who are considered as Upanishads, So if you can just explain the importance of hearing.
Yes, thank you. explain the importance of hearing.
Hearing from Upanishad Shrutikan.
Okay. Well, before that, I think I should make a comment on this. Yes, it's said that, you see, in Vedic teachings, everything is personified. So, for example, earth, we're living on the earth, but also Bhumi Devi is personified. Kali is the time we're living in, but we also know there's a person, Kali. So similarly, the Upanishads and the Shrutis are what we're hearing from, but they are also personified, the personified Vedas, the personified Shrutis. So Srila Prabhupada is giving their example because it said that the personified Shrutis, they wanted to enter into the conjugal rasa with Krishna in the transcendent Vrindavan. And therefore they began praying, they began worshipping the gopis. But what happened is that they eventually had to come down to Vraj in Krishna's time. And they took birth as gopis. And only when they took birth in the bodies of the gopis and they constantly associated with the gopis and heard from the gopis, only then on the Sharad Purnima night were they able to enter into the rasa dance with Krishna. And therefore here, Srila Prabhupada is giving that example to say that if you want to enter into a particular relationship with Krishna, then you have to associate with those people that have that relationship, and you have to hear about those pastimes specifically to then be qualified to enter into that relationship. This is known as Leela Smaranam. So now, what does this mean for us? Does this mean that tomorrow we start to conceive of who we are in the spiritual world and then only hear pastimes of that? That would maybe be premature. Because while we have lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, arrogance, conceit, anger and all of these things in our consciousness, where's the question? So what we're doing right now is we're hearing the Shastra to get the inspiration to overcome our anarthas. We're hearing the Shastra so that the Shastra will smash our illusion that we can be happy in this world. And then later on, once that illusion has been smashed, once those anarthas have been cleared, then we go to the Shastra to hear the Leela. Because then we can connect with the Leela and then become inspired. But that is a very, very advanced stage. So in the beginning, we're hearing the Shastra to purify our consciousness. Therefore, what does Shiva say to Parvati? Maline moshanam pumsham jalashnanam dine dine gita shakrit bhashishnanam samsara malanashanam. That just as jalashnanam dine dine, just as day after day you take a bath with water to cleanse your body, gita shakrit bhashishnanam samsara malanashanam, that by bathing your words, by bathing your mind in the words of Shastra every single day, you cleanse your consciousness. So yes, we're hearing Shastra to cleanse our consciousness, to overcome the anarthas. Later on, we come to the Shastra to hear. You see, in the beginning, you're coming to the Shastra to read something, to then come out of the Shastra and then live your life with that wisdom. And that's good. So we come to Bhagavatam class, we hear Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear something nice, and then we walk out of the door back to the real world. Or what we think is the real world. But in an advanced stage, you don't come to the Shastra to get something to then leave. In an advanced stage, you come to the Shastra to enter into Krishna's world. I'm not coming here to get something so I can leave. I'm coming here so I can enter into this reality. Therefore, they ask one great Vaishnav, how do you read Bhagavatam? It's great, Bhagavatam's. How do you read Bhagavatam? He said, I don't know. I only know how to relish Bhagavatam. But first you have to read. Then you'll be able to relish. So yes, hearing is so important. Therefore, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he saw Prabhupada, and what did he say? I've noted him. He likes to hear. He likes to hear. Because how does the whole transformation take place? Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Ridyanta Stohya Bhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. You have to be able to hear like a fish, the Bhagavat Mahatmyam says. You have to be able to hear like a fish that even underwater does not blink. You have to have that kind of focus, that kind of intent. It said that when you come to read the Shastra, it should be like how you feel when you receive a love letter from someone. I don't know, I never had that experience. But I can imagine what it's like. How excited you get sometimes when you look at your WhatsApp and you see a message from someone. Or you open your email. Some people you get very scared actually. But some people you see the name and you think, wow, yes, I want to. Just on a side note, one devotee had problems getting up in the morning and they told me how they cracked it. You know how they cracked it? What they would do is, and this is supposedly what you shouldn't do, but this devotee said it helped me crack it, get up in the morning. And you know what they did? When the alarm goes off at 3 o'clock in the morning, the first thing they did was turn their mobile connection on and open their WhatsApp. Because it's kind of exciting to think, like, who messaged me? And then what happens, you wake up and you go through all the messages, you realize it's all complaints or problems or whatever. But by that time, you're awake. You're like, okay, I'm awake now anyway, just get up now, what to do? But you need a little bit of initial excitement to get you going in the morning, you know, you need to something to get the engine going. So, God, why was I saying that? A love letter, yeah. So when we read the Shastra, you should think, now, wow, what will I discover? Raga hina jane bhaje. But we don't have the raga hina. Therefore we have to, it's a bit of weightlifting right now. It's a bit, it's 10 kg dumbbell. But it's okay, you'll feel good after. So yes, hearing. I hope that helps. Yes, Hari Bansi Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for a wonderful class. Maharaj, this verse, we saw that it talks about rag. And you have given such a nice explanation. You said in your class that how to get that rag is through Vidhi Bhakti. So I have experienced that this Vidhi Bhakti, when you are following it, sometimes it becomes a mechanical process. So my question is, how do we make our consciousness in such a way that we go to the right rag? Okay.
Yes.
Because what we hear is our rag, as you rightly said, it goes in the material world. But then how
so
to
what
direct
will it take
it
for our Vedi Bhakti to mature?
Yeah.
So Bhagavatam is saying, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharati divrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Don't just do bhakti yoga. Divrena bhakti yogena. You have to do intense devotional service. Devotional service with intensity. What does it mean to do devotional service with intensity? It means that you're always increasing. The moment your devotional service is not increasing, is not intensifying, then you can understand the mature fruit of this Vedi will not come. So then the next question is, how do you increase your intensity? Well, one simple way is quantity. Do more. But you know, sometimes you look at your life and you say, I don't have any more time to do any more. So how can I intensify my devotional service? Then quality. Improve the quality of what you're doing. One Kartik, everyone makes a vow, you got to make a vow. I don't have any time. Krishna, what do you want me to do? I don't have any time. You make 25 hours in a day, I'll make a vow. And then that year, what I decided to do is instead of chanting more rounds, I said to myself, I'm going to chant 16 rounds in one go, sitting down, with no disturbance. So that didn't take any extra time. In fact, it was quicker. But it was a vow of quality. And I tell you, that was an amazing, it really helped. So then you have to increase your intensity by quality. What's another way you can increase your intensity? Difficulty. Do some more sacrifice for Krishna. Come out of the comfort zone. Take an extra risk. Take on more difficult tasks for Krishna. What's another way you can increase your intensity? Responsibility. Don't just look at your own spiritual life, but try to take responsibility for other people's spiritual lives. So do you see how you can constantly increase your intensity in different ways, if you want to? And if you do, then that Vedi Bhakti will mature into Rag. Otherwise, if you're not increasing in intensity, rest assured that it's very likely we will get stuck in mechanical practice. And then the Rag won't come. So the sutra I often give to people is find an intensity that suits your personality so that you can maintain a consistency that awakens your spirituality. But you got to be intense. Otherwise, but we were intense for so many things in the world. Imagine when you wanted something in the world, how intense you were. Something you wanted. You were willing to go to the end of the earth and back to make it happen. Will you do that for Krishna? If you don't, raga hina, no rag. No rag, no Vrindavan. Then where are you building your eternity? Come back. Welcome. Many vacancies. I'm going to go there. It's going to take a special effort. To achieve what other people don't achieve, you have to be ready to do something that other people wouldn't do. It's not cheap. This is real. Manushya nam sahasreshu kashkit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashkin mam veti tatvata. Out of thousands, one may try. And out of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one may know me. You may say the odds are stacked against me. But you've already defeated the odds. Because you're here. You've already defeated the odds. By statistics, we shouldn't be here. Somehow, by some good fortune, we're here. Now take it to the end. You didn't come this far to just go this far. You didn't come this far to just go this far. You came this far because you wanted to reach the goal. So Vaidhi Bhakti is, we honor it. This is our life. But we can't forget the vision of where we're trying to get to.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. How would you explain the difference between Udipan, so the spiritual stimulus, and the Vibhav? Because it sounds very similar. in terms of something's happened that invokes something.
Udipan is a subset of vibhav. So vibhav has two different. Okay, we'd have to look up the details of it, but from my understanding, udipan is a subset, is it not, of vibhav? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's it. Does anyone else have any other question? Otherwise, I'll just say one final thing. Does anyone have any question? Okay.
Since you asked Maharaj, I think I might just have one. So if someone didn't make it into a devotee, didn't make it into Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan, and that person ended up in Vaikuntha planet somewhere, in Dasya Ras, servitorship, would that individual be satisfied? Is that okay? Would that be okay?
How to answer that? I don't know what to say to that.
It depends on the mood also, depending on where he wants to go. If he desires that, to go there and serve Krishna in that way,
this point is correct, obviously, that every devotee in their rasa is satisfied. Like, for example, I could have a 50-millimeter glass here, 100-millimeter and a 200-millimeter glass, and they could all be full. And in one sense, they're all full, isn't it? But in another sense, we can say there's more here. But they're all full. But there's more here. But they're all full. But there's more here. Depends what way you want to look at it. So yeah, someone goes to Vaikuntha, is full. But there's more here. So, would they be satisfied? Yes, they would be satisfied. And at the same time, I'm sure there would be transcendental greed as well. These are all subjects beyond our comprehension right now, because how the dynamics of the spiritual world work and the movements of the souls through different spiritual realms and how that works, I think it would be very speculative to say, talk about that. But we have been given an orientation into an introduction into something which is the culmination of it all, Krishna in Vrindavan. So therefore we orientate our vision in that way and we try to focus on that. And just for the sake, just 2 minutes and then I'll stop, just for the sake of making the class wholesome and avoiding any kind of, whatever it may be. Raganuga Bhakti, actually these chapters, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he says that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would never actually speak from this chapter. Okay. have we just made a big transgression? He said he would only read it if it was coming in sequence. So, okay, that's our saving grace. But generally, he would not read from this because Raganuga Bhakti is something to be discussed privately, actually. Because when we discuss it publicly, it can be misconstrued and taken very cheaply. So broadly speaking, in our tradition, there were two broad ways of cultivating Raganuga Bhakti. One is known as the Antapantha, and one is known as the Bahir Pantha. So the Bahir Pantha, or the external way of developing Raganuga Bhakti, was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Swarup Damada to Vakreshwara Pandit, who then trained Gopal Guru, and later on Dhyana Chandra wrote books on it. How to actually externally, the external process of developing Raganuga Bhakti. And what that involved was approaching a Rasika Bhakta, a guru who knew who they were in Vrindavan. And that guru would tell you who you are in Vrindavan. They would give you a Siddha Pranali mantra of what you should meditate on. And then they would tell you 11 characteristics of who you were in the spiritual world. And then they would give you a Leela Smaranam, what you should meditate on at the 8 times of day in terms of what that character is doing in the spiritual realm. That's the external path of Raganuga Bhakti. And then there's the Antapanta. And the Antapanta was given by Rupa Goswami through Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, to Raghunath Das Goswami. And this was the method taken up by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and obviously us as followers in that line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that the external way of developing Raganuga Bhakti was being misused. Unqualified gurus, unqualified disciples were engaging in this type of activity without having the necessary purity of consciousness to awaken that rag. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he adopted the internal approach of developing Raganuga Bhakti. And what is that? Nam Sankirtan. He said that your identity can be revealed by a very exalted guru, but we follow the internal path where the Nam, Hari Nam, is revealing everything about who you are in the spiritual world. And therefore they asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what is the Siddha Pranali mantra for Gaudiya Vaishnavas? And what did he say? Trinadapi suni chena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. You have to chant the holy name in a humble state of mind. And then later on, when one becomes very mature, through the chanting of the holy name, through chanting the name, through serving the name, through sharing the name with everyone, then one becomes qualified to engage more in hearing about such things in a private scenario, in a mature way. And so, just for the sake of making it wholesome, no one needs to artificially, externally try to do it, but what we do need to do is surrender to the holy name of Krishna, because nam no hi yavati shakti. We can't understand how powerful the name is. Nama guna rupa lila. The nam is the trigger, and through nam everything will be revealed in time, but it's going to take a special effort. It's going to take focus, no cutting corners, no half-hearted attempts, no inattention, a complete focus of orientation towards the fruit of Vedi Sadhana Bhakti, which is love for Krishna in the transcendent realm of Sri Vrindavan Dham.